seriously popular.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to The Sidebar. Borderline National Treasure Richard Arnold here, bringing you the best from the guilty pleasure celebs can't get enough of. The showbiz badge of honour they secretly adore. My Sidebar sidekicks today are Anna Whitehouse.
Hello.
And Resi Gadget.
Woohoo!
Back for more. In this episode, it's all about Zendaya serving a sexy tennis. Baby Reindeer breaks the internet. Sacha Baron Cohen breaks his silence. Corey goes deep fake. And Matt Healy speaks. Shall we, darling?
Let's do it.
Well, here we are. Another Monday dawns down the tinsel mines. Resi, Anna, it's a delight to see you. How was your weekend, Resi? Was it all right? Yeah?
Mine was really good. Do you know what I did? I just want to gush about my best friend for a second.
Okay.
She has opened her own cafe.
Ooh.
And I'm so proud of her. This is so amazing. So she lives in Northampton. It's called Genevieve's Cafe. It's kind of come from nowhere, but she's done loads of research, suddenly decided she wanted to open her own cafe for brunches, people to go in and have nice cakes. It's dog friendly, child friendly. So she did a launch on Sunday. So I went up to DJ for it.
I hate people who are productive and successful. Like, I tend to surround myself with people who are less so.
And that, dear listener, sets the tone for the sidebar from Anna this week. She's feeling very,
welcome,
very embittered.
Anna.
Yes, welcome. Nothing brings out the best in us than other people's success. Congratulations. And her name is Genevieve?
No, that's her daughter's name.
Did you cut the ribbon?
No, they didn't do a ribbon, you know.
Right.
I definitely ate the cakes, though.
Are you not high profile enough to cut the ribbon?
There was no ribbon at all. I should have suggested that, shouldn't I? I didn't even think about it.
Richard, have you cut a ribbon?
Have you? Yeah, of course you have. Richard Arnold.
I have cut a ribbon.
What two?
It was a pound shop. And it was when GMTV finished for me, and I was doing a PA in a shopping centre 100 miles north or so, I think, outside of London. And I was pulled into a car with blackened out windows and then dropped off at this mall. And we had to go around and encourage people to come to the pound shop before I cut the ribbon. And
so you had to go and round up a crowd. There was a guy
with a shopping trolley, and in it was a speaker, and it was like, Richard Arnold will be at the pound.
You know, darling, when we say borderline national treasure, there is nothing that defines borderline more than that scenario.
Because
cutting a ribbon for a pound shop. Brilliant.
The bar is set so low. Anna. Yes, where to start? Now, remember, short version, because we've got a lot to chew over this
very
week.
Very quick. Went to the Variety Showbiz Awards yesterday.
The 75th anniversary thereof.
Yes, exactly. And ended up in a lift with Peter Crouch and Abby Clancy.
How was that?
I mean, you know, that's it. I was just there in the proximity.
Very confusing for Peter.
And I was so close. Me and Abby, like, hard to tell us apart. I was very close. You know when you don't know whether to ask for a picture or not?
Yeah.
They're captive.
Yeah.
And I was there, but I was lurking too long, and I went to sort of hold on to his arm for some reason to just get his attention. But all I did was hold on to his arm without words coming out. And then the lift got to the third floor and they walked out, and that's my story. So I would like to just start the day again. And borderline a national treasure to take over from here.
Okay, great. Getting handsy with Crouching Clancy in a lift at the Variety Club Awards.
Was he as tall in real life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolute beanpole, yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I was reaching up to his arm, which is even more uncomfortable.
Oh, Anna.
I'll keep my week in very brief because we've got so much to talk about today. I left here last week and after a bit of afternoon delight with Mother and an episode of Poirot, found myself on the red carpet of The Fall Guy, which comes out this Friday.
Lovely.
Loosely based, inspired by the 1980s TV series, starring, of course, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt and our lovely friend Hannah Waddingham. It's a cracker. 20 minutes in, I thought, this is actually the kind of 90s-esque caper, action comedy caper that I need. And it's brilliant. Emily and Ryan have great chemistry. Ryan, I mean, just when you thought you'd had enough. Yeah, no, I mean, he looked great on the carpet. And it's a love letter to stunt men and women around the world. It's a terrific romp. I got a lot of time for Emily Blunt, proper twinkler.
Yeah.
There's a running gag in the film where, because they're lovebirds in the film, cast asunder and then hopefully, no spoilers, find each other again in the course of this action movie. There's a running gag about them relaxing on a beach, getting away from it all and drinking spicy margaritas. So I said to Emily Blunt, look, I said, Emily, you know, tequila's my friend. She said, isn't it the most perfect dance partner? I said, it really is. You know, clear liquor in the form of tequila, top shelf ideally, is fantastic. It's nature's elixir. And she said that her friends actually call her Spicy Marge. Her friend Jen calls her Spicy Marge. And my colleagues at Good Morning Britain across the pond, whenever I go over there to do some filming, call me Rita, because I always have one in each hand.
Margarita.
Get off the flight. Need that. Give us a couple of margaritas.
Babe, I see
you guys are destined to be friends, I think.
I see you more as a piquante. I just have to say, you are a little bit exotic, a little bit spicy.
Speaking of colleagues across the
pond. Go down in one.
Exactly. Floored after two, yes. Floored after two. That will be me. 10 years of Good Morning Britain we celebrated on Sunday as well.
Amazing.
I know. Yeah, it was a choker for me as well, Anna. and I'm still there. But yeah, 10 years of Good Morning Britain, five of which, of course, I was lucky enough to spend with
you
peers.
You are looking good on it, darling. I'm not going to lie.
Bless you for that.
It could be worse, let's say, actually.
It could be worse. Yeah. After almost 27 years of getting up at the crack, yeah, it could be worse. But the last 10 years in great company like Susanna, and I could name all of them because it's a great
emotional
family of faces, my Kate as well. It's a sort of milestone that you're glad to reach.
Yeah.
And I also had a crack in 5 years working with Piers. I remember when Piers, because obviously he was part of the story for 5 years as well, during our 10-year run, and which we couldn't do without you obviously tuning in. I remember that the first week that Piers started on the show, it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And they brought me a cake, and obviously you're obliged to blow out the candles. And I blew out the candles and I went, oh, you're still here. And from that point on, we tore up the running order and we had a terrific time, as we do to this day. So, yeah, 10 years of Good Morning Britain. Worth a spicy marge?
I reckon a little picante.
Definitely a picante. Well, let's crash on with this week's sidebar. We were talking about movie releases, The Fall Guy, coming to a cinema near you this very Friday. But the big story of the weekend, of course, was Zendaya serving up new balls. Let's talk challengers. We haven't seen it, but we've certainly seen the sizzle that there has been around the film, starring Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor, and of course the aforementioned Zendaya. So let's wet your whistle with a little taster of what you can see in the cinemas right now.
One of the sexiest movies ever made arrives.
Mommy, come tuck you in.
Critics are calling challengers fierce, electrifying, and deliriously enjoyable.
So, how often does this happen? Going after the same girl?
This is Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
Are we here for it? Yes,
oh
I think we're
God.
Here for it.
So,
let me give you it in a nutshell. Zendaya plays Tashi, a retired tennis player who coached her husband Art to Grand Slam status, and after an injury took her out of the sport. So Art is played by Mike Feist. And then across the net, we have Patrick, his childhood friend, and Tashi's ex, played by the wonderful Josh O'Connor. It's a scorcher. There's a lot of heat there. There's a lot of sauce on the side that's being served up with those aforementioned new balls. Tennis, very sexy sport. I think
the grunt alone, that alone, and then having that translated into real life.
You know, why do they do that, the grunt?
The grunt?
Yeah. Why is the grunt a thing? Why do tennis players grunt when
because they're lobbing it at a rate of knots. I know that's not how you measure a serve, but, you know, the miles per hour, however they do measure it. I mean, they are lobbing that from, is it the baseline, Anna? Help me out.
Baseline.
Thank you. Yeah.
It feels so exaggerated, though.
Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Like, do you need to...
Could be on centre court, Resi. Could be on centre court.
Tennis has never done it for me. I think from when I was a kid, my brother used to go to tennis lessons on a weekend and my mum used to drag me along to watch him and I used to find it so boring. So it's never been a thing for me. So when I saw this was coming out, just from reading about it, I was a bit like, it's not going to do it for me. But then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to go and
darling,
see this.
Anything with a potential menage has got my balls in their court is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the lads and the lass pucker up in this particular film, which has led people to sort of think
Have you ever been in a love triangle?
A little too early in the show. Okay, yeah, love triangle. Are you kidding? I mean, no, never a love triangle. I used to think I was auditioning. Not that many. I should be so lucky. No,
you'd be more of a ruler in your time.
I used to go on dates and I'd be auditioning, you know. I think I know I never had the choice of a menage, as fluid as kids are these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a scene with the lads puckering up and also with Zendaya as well. The music Man Eater, it was a banging soundtrack. I always think that people are fascinated when Disney alumni, you know, people who started off in that stable, grow up. And let's face it, she's 27 years old now. This movie has got the highest Rotten Tomatoes score of any film in her career. And it's very much her as a leading lady, I think. This is kind of her.
Has it? So he produced it as well. She produced on it.
I mean, this is her with her absolute name above the door. And I've always kept a glad eye on her career. And she is a phenomenal force of nature. And judging from her performance in this as well, there's even Oscar buzz, dare I say it, quite so soon.
It feels like she's only just dusted herself off from June.
I know.
June, she...
I
can't keep up with the productivity of this woman. Like, I can't get into her new characters, let alone her getting into
them. Are you feeling bitter about that, Anna? Do share.
I don't know. I just feel like if it was a love triangle, I could have made it a square, is all I'm saying.
Oh,
like,
love it.
Absolutely.
Imagine what it would be like, though, taking your family to go and watch that film for the first time. And I know that she was saying she gave her family a bit of a warning and was like, you know, this is an R-rated film. There are some scenes in there. So she was like, you know what you're getting yourself into. But she actually said that she, when she went and watched it with her family, she kind of turned around just to see their reactions. And she said first, the mums, the dads, they were squirming. But she said it was her nieces that she was most horrified about because they're about 18. And she said her niece was so horrified, like, oh my gosh, that's my auntie doing that type of stuff.
Yeah.
She said that's what made her squirm in her seat.
Can you imagine Tom Holland? He's literally like, he's such a supportive little seal. He's just
lovely.
Clapping on the sidelines. Going, there
well
she
done.
Is.
Well done.
Oh, great. Yep. Tongue over there. Okay. Yep. Well done, darling.
That was a good kiss with that boy and that boy.
Both at once. Interesting, darling. So behind you. So behind you.
It's your best work.
Oh, best work, darling. Because he's such a blimming support, Tom Holland.
But I think that works well between them because they're both the same for each other, aren't they? Like, she's a really big support for him, support system, and he does exactly the same back. And I think that's really nice.
Yeah, she said that she's going to go to all of his Romeo and Juliet
performances. Yeah, as many shows as possible.
And he's obviously going to watch that one once because you only want to see your partner, you know, chowing down with two other tennis pros once.
But the tennis part, though, they took seriously. Like, they did like 6 to 8 weeks of like tennis training. Apparently, they were going to the gym like 4 hours a day, then doing 2 hours of tennis training. Yeah. That's insane, isn't
it? Chatting to Josh at Good Morning Britain, he was the jeopardy for him, and I can really appreciate that it's a British bloke with summer fast approaching, is the idea of the short, you know, is it the year of the leg? Is it the year of the high sock? Is it the year of the tailored short? Is it the long short? Is it the slash to the thigh silk short? I mean, shorts and British blokes and Jeopardy, poolside or seaside, is a nightmare. And when you're playing sport, of course, and you're out there on centre court, which clearly has never knowingly happened with my good self. I remember standing at a baseline at once and seeing, how on earth do you get that thing over there?
Yeah.
The ball.
The ball.
The ball, yes.
The ball from baseline.
Shorts were. So I'm with Josh. He said, you know, I didn't know what gear to wear,
Did you remember seeing that Athena poster back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Like
legendary.
That
iconic.
Was always
Why
my.
Was it?
So it's a girl standing by the tennis net. Look, we're getting all of the definitions out there today. What, baseline, ball, tennis net. Yep. And she's
Sue
got.
Sue Barker, anyone?
And she's wearing a little skirt and she's got her hand just gently pulling up the skirt so you see the curvature of her buttocks.
Oh, yeah.
iconic, you know, like that was how I imagined playing tennis. It never quite materialised like that.
No.
Until Zendaya comes centre stage. And I'm like, oh, that's the like 2024 version of the Athena poster.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
That's what this film is about. It's reigniting that.
She said, though, when she was filming it, that there weren't actually any balls coming her way. It was all like...
Oh, there were plenty of balls coming her way, darling.
apparently, it's not graphic.
I walked straight
into
that.
Can you imagine if you write and produce this, though, for yourself, and you go, yeah, so I'm in the middle of the triangle. Yeah. Okay. Two hotties coming at me like
you
Cleopatra.
And you, that'll do.
Yeah. You and you, right? Just lots of balls coming my way.
Also, her assistant played the umpire in the film. How cool is that? So random.
That is random.
But the director, Luca, he really wanted him to come and do it. He just thought he had the right vibe. So he said to Zendaya, can you go and ask him if he wants to do it? He took it seriously. The guy went to umpire school for like a week just to learn what he was doing. I think that's quite cool.
That is so peak Resi Gadget.
That is the type of thing I do.
You're so keen you do that.
What do you learn at umpire school for a week? I mean, I don't want to detract from obviously a legitimate profession, I'd be a bit dizzy just on that stool, to be quite honest. You know, the I'm sure there's a technical term for that, that we're frenzy.
Maybe that's what you
Googling
learn.
Listener, Richard is gesticulating wildly to try and look like he knows
what
he's doing.
Talking about. Well, to me, the sound of those new balls going back and forth just is the sound of summer. You can, you know, smell the whiff of a Pimm's and it just sets you up
and the grunt.
For this season. But this one, what it's done for Zendaya, and as I say, as someone who sort of closely scrutinised her career, I just feel like that this is a next level move for her. And the relationship with Tom, obviously, and they are supportive with each other, because I think in the sense that they're the kind of couple that, well, they're the only ones they've got in terms of a sphere of reference. There aren't that many people in that sort of orbit that they can sort of, you know, chew over pillow talk or otherwise, you know, the day.
He does look like he's just won a charity prize, though, standing next to her. I know he's lovely. No, look, I am backing his career. He's absolutely incredible in his own right. But when they're together...
She is like a supermodel,
He does look a bit like, look what I found.
look what's mine!
Look who's standing
show
next
and tell.
To me. Show and tell. Show and tell, you too.
But I think there's a lot of people in invested... in them as a couple, and I can't imagine anyone throwing shade the way of Tom and Zendaya, because they seem very much a couple of our times, very much a couple of a modern day Hollywood.
Are they Tom Dea? Tom Dea, is that, you know, they combine the names like Tom Dea,
yes.
Tom Dea, because it was Tomcat back in the day, wasn't it? With Tom Cruise and Kate, was it?
Yes, that's right.
Tomcat, all of those names. Brangelina, that's an old blast from the back.
I think that was peak, wasn't it? That was peak. I mean, they've been together so 8 years now, which is, you know, that's quite a ride, particularly, you know, in your youth,
They've grown up in the limelight together as well.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's really lovely. It's a lovely love story, and he seems like a really nice guy.
Zendaya obviously always looks amazing on the red carpet. So let's talk red carpets. Zendaya obviously knows how to rock a carpet. I mean, she just owns it.
I like how
phenomenal.
She themes them. Like her outfits that she's been wearing, especially for challenges, has been amazing. There was one outfit that she had on where she was wearing white stiletto heels with a tennis ball on the bottom of each heel. It just looks amazing.
And
or a beautiful green dress
always
with like a
has,
tennis player on it.
Which obviously I have too, because Zendaya and I are twinning.
The
left leg split.
Yeah.
Every dress is a left leg split, and I think it really works for her.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the left leg split? Because Hannah Wagenknecht, as I mentioned, is in The Fall Guy. And obviously when she was at, you'll have seen this, no doubt, and it featured in the Mail Online, footage of Hannah calling out a photographer at the Olivier Awards, which of course she was hosting, when he... literally said, show us a bit of leg. And you're thinking, how far back are we laughing here? What, 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
And rightfully, she called him on it. And there was the finger wagging, and she was like, no. And then she just, you know, went on her way. Quite right, too.
Yeah, what a moment.
I think it's okay if you want to show your leg. Obviously, you shouldn't want to show her legs. Zendaya likes to show her leg. But if you don't want to show it, then you shouldn't have to.
I remember hitting the red carpet with Zoe Hardman. I was the first red carpet I did. And honestly, the photos that came out, I looked like a jacket potato next
to
her.
I'm sure you didn't.
No, because she knew the moves.
Yeah.
So she'd done so many red carpets. And there is a certain move you have to do that makes you look like a coat hanger in real life.
Oh, go on, let's see it.
Like, so it's basically...
Is it like the hand on the hip?
I'm going to call it the Zendaya, because although Zoe founded it. So it's first like left leg forward, hip back,
okay,
hand on hip.
Yeah.
You've got to have head up, chin up, look into the camera. I stood there like you would, you know, in a year six, you know, primary school. And I was like, hi, guys. Hi, guys.
Take my picture.
And Zoe's like some thoroughbred, you know, at various angles. But it's the Zendaya. Like, there is a... look. Not, and the thing is, the Zendaya doesn't even need to do that. You know, like, she's got such a beautiful structure anyway. But for those of us that don't have the Zendaya structure, take the coat hanger.
Yeah, the coat hanger.
The coat hanger is my signature move. You can see it now.
Do you remember that time me and you went on the red carpet together and we were so busy taking selfies that we didn't realise that we walked behind a national news interview? It was Halle Bailey for The Little Mermaid. She was doing an interview for the news and we just walked past filming ourselves and then stopping and looking at the pictures and giggling to each other.
And there's literally the film that comes out on TV across the nation and people like messaging us going, you two look so terrible. In the background, it's like,
and then we're looking at what we just filmed and laughing at ourselves.
What filter should we put on? Like basic red carpet bitches.
The collective age of all of us in this room, and we're still doing that to this age.
Talk to me about your move on the red carpet.
My move on the red carpet.
Oh yeah, you must be a pro at this.
Well, in terms of a pose,
I
sort of copied Ben quite early on because he does this thing with his hands that are sort of cupped together and slightly sort of leans into shot. So you're sort of slightly 1 foot forward. I mean, try it at home, guys. Look, red carpets are not my friend. The camera is not my friend. It's far too candid. It's never friendly. Just when you think you've struck that pose,
you're going out to the opening of a show. You look great on camera.
Oh, stop it. When you strike the pose, you're feeling really quite happy with yourself. Yeah. And then in the morning, you're sort of thinking, oh, do you know what? It's a slow news day. I'll Google myself on the way into the studio. And then I look at it, I go, right, Richard Arnold attends such and such premiere, and it comes up, and I think, oh, the bead on that. Look at the sweat. I could feel the UTS, you know?
Like you go on that red carpet, you're like, I'm rich, I'm famous, everybody loves me. You see the photos on Getty, you're like, I'm poor, I'm lonely, everybody hates me.
And you realise...
It's so true.
James Corden once said of David Beckham, we are just not of the same species, you know? Yeah. So Zendaya and Tom, more power to you.
Definitely.
Challengers, get ye to see it. As I say, it's got a massive score for her on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's definitely one to watch. That Oscar buzz is happening already. Zendaya and Tom, little bit of a loving on the sidebar. I think it's time we took a little ad break.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to the sidebar. We talked about this briefly last week on the sidebar. We're talking Baby Ranger, of course, the TV show to talk about. It's broken records this side of the pond and across the pond as well. For the uninitiated, Baby Ranger sees Scottish comedian Richard Gadd retell his own traumatic true story of being stalked over the course of several years, as well as a harrowing account of sexual abuse. It's an extraordinary piece. Now, when we came into the show last week, Anna, Resi and I, we were but fledglings. We'd only just watched one. And I have to say, it sort of cast a shadow of my whole week. I mean, the performance is incredible. The script is darkly comedic, goes to some very, very, very dark places, but it's almost like poetry. There's not a wasted word in it. And Richard Gadd going on this journey, along with Jessica Gunning as well, who's a phenomenal actress who plays the stalker of the piece, Martha. It is television that I think we haven't seen on the broadcasting landscape for years, if at all. It is, I mean, visceral doesn't even begin to define it. And it was something that I personally couldn't shake all week. I had to finish the journey, if you like, to see how it played out. And of course, all the more disturbing because it's being played by the chap who's experienced it in real life. And he has called everybody out this week, Richard, to say, look, can you stop the speculation, the inevitable speculation about who the real people are involved in various scenarios in the film, particularly, of course, Martha the stalker.
You know, they say it's sort of fictionalized and their identities have been protected within it. And it's like, no, I don't think you really can. You know, I mean, I've written only one book, but actually it was ultimately fiction, but it was about my life. You know, I know you can't, you write what you know. And this is such an emotive piece. It's so big. At first I was like, oh, wow, this is brilliant. And then I was like, I need to know who she is. Like, I need to know that person because this is factual, not fictional. That's how it felt. And it was such a heavy watch. As much as it was like incredible, and like you say, we've not seen it on our screens, I didn't come away from it going, right, okay, now I can crack on with my kids, you know, fish fingers for chips.
No,
and
really, like I said, cast like, a shadow. Yeah, it sort of left really, a pall over my entire
and
day.
So when it sits with you, you know, you then go into sort of slight sort of Tesco value sleuthing zone where you do end up in the underbelly of the internet trying to understand it all because it's hit you so hard on such a human level.
That's so true. I was saying last week that I haven't binge watched the whole thing because if I find a series that I really enjoy, I really like to take my time with it and watch it little by little when I've got time to sit and enjoy it. But I'm two episodes in now. So, and already from that, I'm completely involved in it. And I find myself there Googling stuff online, trying to find out who she was, what actually happened. So I think it's mad that he would now turn around and say, please don't read into this. Don't try and look up the characters. Everyone's so involved. They want to see who the characters are.
Invariably, it's turned into a witch hunt. And you can't really put the lid on it now. It is a Pandora's box, a very literal Pandora's box. And inevitably, people are going to be doing a deep dive on the internet and trying to find out who the main players are. Because
I think he didn't realise how successful it was going to be.
Well, I think also because his performance is just so extraordinary, you know? It's really difficult. The lines are so blurred between what you feel like you're almost thinking, because it is him, you almost think, well, it's almost like a docu-series in a sense. In fact, that real material as well has been used from the episodes in his life when Martha was sending him emails and texts and bombarding him like that. That's real source material that's evident in the show.
Yeah.
So it makes it even more difficult to separate the fact from the fiction or the drama from what actually played out in real life.
And the hunger of ego, I think that's the bit that really struck me. Like that desperation to be a successful comedian over protecting your safety and sanity. Mm. You know, you could see the constant waverings of ego and like, yes, of course, she's mad as a box of frogs. You can see that. Yeah. But good God, she's clapping on the front row. And
what we said last week as well, Rosie, initially that first episode, which was the only one I'd watched, for me personally, it really struck a chord because you've got two very vulnerable people here. It was a story of two very vulnerable people. It was very easy to write Martha off initially as like, oh, well, like you say, you know, just crazy. What's going on? You know, no one behaves like this. But when you actually get under the skin of both of them and it becomes this two-way street, this self-fulfilling form of a relationship, a toxic relationship, then it all blows apart.
I had, I don't know whether I'm allowed to say this anonymously, but I had a sort of similar situation where somebody was kind of trolling me and I responded and I just said, would you like to meet? Because I would be able to talk to you in person. And what happened was exactly the same scenario, was an attachment, which I'd underestimated. And then as soon as there wasn't attention given, a complete like lambasting, you know? And so I think especially with the internet, this is something that amplifies those like discords. And like you said, there was never a moment where I went to this woman, or I'm sure you can see it within the series, there's not a moment where you go bad person, good person, vulnerable person,
like
in pain person, like empathy for that person. You can't almost pick a side. You're ricocheting from side to side. And that's what's so beautiful about it, I think.
I think what's even more deeply unsettling for the people who are involved is that if you think about the sheer number, the sheer volume of people who are tuning into this, so 13.3 million people viewed it around the world last week, 13.3 million people with keyboards, even if a fraction of them are doing the deep dive on who the real culprits are, or if they feel like they've identified them, which has happened, even though that is not the case, they end up, this witch hunt, they end up, the irony, sort of stalking the people that they think are the real life players. Yeah. And can you imagine being on the raw end of that? I mean, that would be absolutely unbearable.
Especially if you're wrongly accused of something and you've got all these people messaging you on social media to say you've done this, you've done that, and this is your reputation that you're having to deal with and you haven't done anything.
And you feel compelled to put yourself in the frame, even though it's all happening, you sort of below stairs, if you like, on the internet, you feel like you've got to make a public declaration that, no, this is not me. And then, of course, you immediately put yourself even more in the mix, don't
you? And it's so weird, because I think that we have definitely gone back to the kind of, like you say, witch hunts of, like, the 16th century.
Yeah, that's true.
We forget, like, reason, fact, legalities, and it's just this absolute category witch hunt. And I can't help but thinking about the real Martha right now, sitting at home, going about her daily life, knowing categorically that this is about her, feeling that way coming in, you
and
know?
And still, like, obviously very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable.
I wonder what you get as someone who is, you know, again, that phrase, keyboard warrior, what you get if you feel like you have named the key players in this all too real story that's been dramatized. What you get out of that? What is that, like, oxygen for you? Because you know you're in the mix.
Maybe. I guess if someone, because I saw there was a TikTok that went around, was the video clip of Richard doing a comedy show in real life. And it's an old clip that's resurfaced from years ago. And in the background, you can hear Martha's laugh. And everyone's saying that they're convinced it's her
because
they've watched the series and it's the same distinctive laugh.
Can you see the woman in the clip?
No. You can just hear the voice.
Oh, my
God. So that got put onto TikTok, and obviously that's circulated around. So whoever's uploaded that is obviously loving the fact that it's had loads of clicks, loads of views, people going to their profile. But, yeah, it's horrendous.
Yeah, I'd seen that as well. And again, you can't help but be drawn into the speculation about it, because a TV to talk about is no longer just a water cooler moment when you get into the office or you're at the school gates or whatever, all of those cliches, is it? It's something that you don't just talk about it the morning after. Something that sweats, the content sweats, and the chat.
Yeah.
The chat is there all the time. It is an extraordinary piece of work. You wonder if Richard Gadd actually imagined that it would take off the way it did. I mean, where he goes in himself when he performs, there's a monologue later in the run, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone who's still playing catch up, but I don't think I've ever seen anything, as I say that word again, visceral, in a very, very long time. And talk about peeling away layer after layer after layer. And the irony is that he's playing this sort of lackluster comedian, and yet what has emerged is that Richard Gadd is just this, rather like Jessica Gunning, this phenomenal talent.
Yeah. I think it must have been so difficult for him, because in real life, he went through it for 6 years, didn't he?
Yeah.
So then to have to go back through it and almost relive everything, the whole experience, those emotions, that must have been so tough.
41,071 emails, 744 tweets, 350 voicemails, and 106 pages of letters.
That's crazy,
from the stalker.
Isn't it? Wow.
But so she has categorically outed herself and spoken up about her side of the story. Mm. But do you feel like she was probably pressured into doing that? Like that there was just, you know, like, either they're going to get me or I'm going to
Didn't she say she's upset with Netflix for making it without her permission? But then I also think that it's kind of fair game in a way, because he's saying, it's based on truth, but it's not 100% factual.
Things are made all the time, though, without people's permission, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't think that's, you know, something anyone can
But I think that's where the rub is the fact that sort of real emails and texts, you know, feature in the drama, so which makes it all the more difficult to people to filter out, you know, what is drama and what is actually what happened. It's an extraordinary piece of TV. I mean, there's got to be a few gongs on the way for it. If you haven't caught it, then I don't know what rock you've been hiding under, because it's extraordinary.
I think it was wildly underestimated as well, and I love that. Like, on a baseline level, I love seeing the things that haven't had billions pumped into them. You know, like Dune 2 was always going to do well.
Yeah.
You know? And I think seeing something like this, almost a seeming underdog rising to the fore, that is what I love seeing on telly.
So Rebel Wilson's controversial memoir finally saw print in the UK last week. She'd previously posted that the book featured a chapter, well, I'll tell you what, let's Rebel tell you herself.
So when I first came to Hollywood, people were like, yeah, I have a no asshole policy. Means like, yeah, I don't work with assholes. I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, that sounds sensible, logical. But then it really sunk in what they were meaning by that, older people in the industry, because I worked with a massive asshole And yeah, now I definitely have a no assholes policy. The chapter on said asshole is chapter 23. That guy was a massive asshole.
Okay, so Rebel subsequently named Sacha Baron Cohen, as we know, as the subject of that chapter, which he vehemently denies all of her allegations. And whilst the book has been published, as is in the US, Sasha's legal team have prevailed upon publishers HarperCollins here in the UK, and allegations against Borat star Sasha have been redacted, so which literally means cross through with a black line. In the book, Rebel writes that the redacted section covers the worst experience of my professional life, I quote, an incident that left me feeling bullied, humiliated and compromised. It can't be printed here due to the peculiarities of the law in England and Wales. Now, Sasha's legal team has called the decision a vindication. The statement said HarperCollins did not fact-check this chapter in the book prior to publication and took the sensible but terribly belated step of deleting Rebel Wilson's defamatory claims once presented with evidence that they were false. Printing falsehoods is against the law in the UK and Australia. This is not a peculiarity, as Ms. Wilson said, but a legal principle that has existed for many hundreds of years. They go on to say... this is a clear victory for Sacha Baron Cohen and confirms what we said from the beginning, that this is demonstrably false. So here we have two sides of the story that's been redacted here in the UK. Sasha's position is that the redaction in the UK version is confirmation that Rebel's allegations were demonstrably false, as the US version has been published without the deletions and the allegations already reported on in the UK. Do we think that perhaps damage has been done already?
Well, I don't think there's ever anything to be gained from a he said, she said. It's that simple. I don't think remove PR, remove personal brand, you know, just on a baseline level, chucking stones at each other, I don't think it's going to serve anyone. You know, I do, we were talking about this earlier about the old Britney memoir. And in that, I think there was something quite cathartic about recognising what she'd gone through. We saw that happened with the media, with Justin Timberlake, but it was almost more the media that was thrown under the bus, not really one person. It was the way the media portrayed her versus JT. And here it's just like mudslinging, rocks thrown at each other. He said, she said. And I don't really like either of them anymore in this. It's a mess.
It's a big mess. I think it's really difficult because obviously there's always two sides to every story. Is this the best way to deal with it? I understand that she has allegedly gone through an awful time and she wants to speak up about what's happened to her. But I don't know whether this is the right way we're dealing with it. And I think now, because everyone's talking about it, I don't think either of them will come out of this in a good way.
But if Rebel's telling her story or her version of events, if she's writing a book about her life personally as an individual, then clearly she feels duty-bound to include everything as she perceived it and how she experienced it. So why should she, you could argue, feel compelled to leave out a chapter that obviously had such a huge effect on her?
I get that. And I, look, I'm categorically not siding with either of them. I'm not interested in that.
Amen
but
to that.
I do think that in this day and age, you have to be so aware what algorithms, forums, like witch hunting, like we've talked about, you don't know what is going to happen to that person off the back of outing them on something. I don't know the facts of this and I'm not going to guess them. But what you don't know is where something like this can go once the match has been struck. And I think that we can all look at, we can name many names right now of those that have been in documentaries, books, not thrown under the bus, might have happened categorically, but you don't know then where it's going to go because it becomes a public mauling. And then it becomes a complete detonation of that person's character. Might have been vaguely a ceiling of justification at the beginning that then grows into a garden of complete like rampaging and destruction of a person's self, you
and
know?
It never goes away, does it? It becomes a defining moment for both sides,
yeah,
and a detraction from arguably two successful artists with two successful bodies of work. But it never goes away. It's the question that will always be on the lips of any journalist who's interviewing them moving forward, even if the PR is poking you and saying we're not going there. Inevitably, there's always a way to find a way to ask the question that they don't want to answer. And again, that becomes, as you say, an absolute minefield.
You, yeah, though, Richard, have not categorically, you've not categorically got in your favourite phrase of this show so far, which is rebel with a cause. And I've been desperately sad not to hear that.
Rebel's got a cause,
Rebel has a cause.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to interview Rebel a couple
What's
of times.
She like?
And she's terrific. I mean, and again, she's got form as well, and rightly so, of taking on detractors and haters in the course of her career. And when I interviewed her, she was with her partner. They seemed very much in a happy place. It is interesting when you get to a point in life where you feel compelled to tell your story and you feel compelled to include the full story as you see it. As I say, it is such a minefield. I mean, clearly the winners truly are the legal teams that are involved. I mean, 'twas ever thus, right?
Yeah.
64 years she is, long in the teeth, and far from being a dinosaur, Coronation Street, the queen of the soaps, is taking a deep dive into uncharted waters. There are rumours that Coronation Street is going to portray one of its characters falling victim to deep fake porn. So don't worry, the walls of the cabin won't be rocked by Rita's face planted on a naked nubile getting nasty using AI technology, but poor old Abby Franklin, played by Sally Carman, is set apparently to become the victim of a sex tape altered using deep fake AI to look like her. That is then sent on to a boss at the garage, Tyrone.
Wow.
Coronation Street tackling an issue very much and unfortunately part of the landscape at the moment, isn't it?
It's a little bit like a tick box exercise though, isn't it? Because everyone was complaining about the plot lines of Corrie being a bit
boring.
Lacklustre. And so they're like, oh, deepfake porn, tick, Boomtown. Who can we wheel out for that?
But I guess it's current, isn't it? Like AI, you know, it's something that's going on at the moment. Taylor Swift, she was subject to something similar, wasn't she? Where her head got put onto a photo that got retweeted and seen by like 47 million people or something.
Yeah.
It's happening. I mean, fair enough, it's only happening to celebrities.
Has
at the
it
moment.
Happened to you?
Not that I know of, but I know that Kathy Newman did an investigation for Channel 4.
That's
and
right.
She was looking into it and she found videos of herself online that she didn't know was there. And apparently there were 5 sites that had 4,000 famous faces on it that are all, you know,
how devastated
porn.
I'd be if I wasn't there.
Oh,
would you be? I would be devastated if I was there. Yeah. I mean, part of you, I guess, would be flattered. You're like, oh, they think I'm worth it.
Well, if they pop me on, I know it's really dodgy territory, but you know, if they pop my head on
a
nice body and whacked it out there for, well, we talked about WikiFeet on Sidebar. Do you remember?
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
And I only got a 4 out of 10 on that.
I've got 4.5 on WikiFeet.
Yeah.
I've got horrendous feet. So I'm really proud of that.
I mean, there's a very serious side to it as well, clearly, because it's deeply unsettling in every sense. Celebrities are no different from the average Joe or Joanna.
I think Taylor Swift was the main one recently, wasn't she? The big one recently.
And did people actually think it was her?
But this is the thing. It's not that I'm saying I've watched it, but from looking at some of the clips that Kathy Newman was talking about, they showed a picture of her and you could tell that it was AI'd. It almost looked very airbrushed, very much like a robot. So for me and you, we'd probably look at it and be like, that something looks weird about that picture. That's not her. But there could be people out there that could look at that and actually think it's her.
Well, the polls are saying that at the moment, aren't they? That increasingly we're becoming not just a nation, but a world that doesn't really question what they see when they first see it and can't actually choose between reality and AI. And when you think about the rate of take-up of this technology and how it's, you know, gathering momentum, you know, it almost feel like we're not talking in years, we're talking months and weeks with how
well,
that technology
what?
Is accelerating.
AI can't do is hands and feet. So if you want to be a bit more careful in what you're looking at, everything else...
Cover your face with your hands.
I AI'd myself and it was extraordinary.
I saw yours.
Yeah. I AI'd myself. But then you look at the little wispy hands that look
right.
Really sort of like Casper the Ghost's hands.
At least the law is playing catch up now because creating those images now as of this very month...
Is illegal.
Yeah. Is illegal and quite right so. But when I think about guests that we've had on Good Morning Britain and telling their stories, rather like, you know, you were mentioning there, Resi, and how those stories have had to get so much traction from mainstream outlets to finally get to a stage where the victims of this deep fake imagery can actually prosecute those who are the offending.
It feels like the internet is only just catching up with some of these kind of, and they are crimes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Emily Atack and unsolicited dick pics, you know, like that's been happening for decades.
Ages. Yeah.
You know, I got hundreds of those and I got to a point where I was like, it's just part of the job until Emily Atack stood up and said, no, categorically not part of the job. Like, yeah, nobody should be receiving those. And half of them, I was like, Jesus Christ, if you think that's going to be your in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we only, the internet's only just catching up with these like lines. They're blurred, quite literally blurred AI lines,
yeah,
you know, of where right, wrong, fiction, fantasy sits. And it's, yeah,
it's scary, I think.
And I love that Corrie's tackling this because, you know, I joked earlier that it's a bit of a tick box exercise. I don't think that. I think that they are using it as an opportunity to sort of educate us all and going, right, yeah, here's an issue.
I think,
like,
you're right.
Let's get your the emotion around it instead of just seeing it as a sort of, is it legal, is
Pick
it not?
A character that everyone loves.
Let's, yeah.
And then bring the conversation into the living room, which is what these soaps, yeah, these dramas have done every week for as long as we can remember.
Because in years to come, it could affect the normal person. You know, I know we talk about like Taylor Swift now, but imagine if you're a teacher and that happens to you and the children see it and they can't quite understand whether it's real or not. I think it is going to get to that point where it starts to affect more and more people.
Let's talk Matt Healy. So we're talking Taylor Swift, of course. We're talking Taylor Swift's Savage Diss Tracks, which has become a phrase all of its own since that album double dropped the Tortured Poets Department just over a week ago. It's broken loads of records and he's broken his silence. Here's what he had to say.
How would you rate your Taylor diss track compared to the 30 others?
My diss track?
Yeah, Taylor's new song.
I haven't really listened to that much of it, but I'm sure it's good.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one, then.
That's Matt.
I love how casual he is.
I know, I love it.
I haven't really listened
sorry,
to it.
Sorry, who's Taylor? I love it.
You know, collared by a reporter in the US, as you could hear there, and he is just in a black hoodie and his shorts, and he's just padding around and gets approached by this guy who's looking for a quote about his so-called Taylor
diss track. It seems like such a natural reaction.
Yeah, you know, he's not remotely phased. He's obviously hugely successful in his own
you
right.
Do, you know, he's quietly dying inside. You know that. Yes. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I could hear it in his voice. Like, it was like, it was too casual. He'd got, like, gone too casual on it. You
his
know,
mates
like,
definitely would have set up a WhatsApp group and been like, mate, have you seen what Taylor's saying,
like,
about you?
You're not like, oh, I haven't heard it. You know, it's a bit like if your ex is like rampaging online and your ex is Taylor Swift. She's done it in song form to, like, you know, double dropped, like you say,
what's
an album.
What's he expected to do? I think that you've got to tread a fine line between dignifying something with a response that doesn't open yourself up even further to scrutiny or any form of excruciating embarrassment.
In the face.
Well, that's what I think he's doing.
He's going, oh, I don't even know. Sorry.
So how would you have responded? Sorry.
I think you just have to almost like own it to an extent. People love people who own things, right? Like they had a tempestuous, rocky old relationship and you can just say, yeah, you know, it's not how I imagine.
Would you be that friend then, Anna? Would you be that friend that would pick up the blower going, Richard, there's some geezer from your misspent youth who's penned a little poem for you and it's all over the internet. I'd like to read it to you word for word. Actually sleeping at the moment, Anna. I've got to get up tomorrow for good morning, Brit. Oh no, I just need a minute of your time.
He's really slagged you off, Richard.
You need to hear this.
As your publicist, how I'd like you to respond.
It is.
In the eye. No, genuinely, because I think when you act a little bit like nonchalant, that you can't be nonchalant about the fact that, sorry, your ex is Taylor Swift. She's written a story about you. There is an element of anyone's ego, however low level, that would want to just hear that, right?
Yeah.
So you know what it is. He knows what it is. And I totally get it. It's not a bad response. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if you took the bull by the horn, and kind of went, yeah, it's not how I imagined, you know, my ex piping up about me, but it is what it is.
This is the thing, you don't my want point. To
but
act
that's
bothered.
What's not cool about it, guys. Like, because
really?
It's so obviously bothered.
I thought he was really cool and casual. When I watched the clip, I was like, he didn't even look phased. He was literally just like,
there's nothing.
I've heard parts of it, but
babe,
the whole thing.
Babe, yeah. There's nothing cool and casual about dating Taylor Swift. Let's just be honest.
No. I think that's
also,
what makes it more iconic.
Just so we're clear, everyone, Taylor Swift has got an album out. Anna, Rezzy, you've made my Monday, as you always do. Thanks for joining us on The Sidebar today. Email us at thesidebar@mailonline.co.uk. Comment on Spotify. Send me a WhatsApp or voice note on 077-966-57512. You can start your message with the word Sidebar. And please give us a follow and a 5-star review. It makes the world of difference. And don't forget, Sidebar or it didn't happen.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, more parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Our hit series Everything I Know About Me is back for a brand new season, and this time our guest needs no introduction.
Of course you find me, Darren!
But here's one anyway.
Hi, I'm Gemma Collins, and this is Everything I Know About Me.
If you think you know all about Gemma Collins, think again, because this is the GC as you've never heard her before.
It's been exhausting.
Unashamed.
And I was really heartbroken because I was pregnant and he was having an affair.
Unfiltered.
I have had an operation as well years ago. I have a designer vagina. Yeah, baby. I don't have camel toe.
Unbelievable.
And then they advised me you need to have a termination. And, yeah, I remember that being really stressful.
Everything I Know About Me with Gemma Collins is out this Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.